The title of today's talk is Why It Matters. Ego tension comes from the subconscious neediness in one form or another. It needs or wants, is trying to get something done, something understood, something made, always something it needs. Relaxed open-heartedness, open-mindedness, comes from the fullness of relaxed faith and perfect unconditional love. So, why does it matter? One leads to God and the other leads to ego. It's the continuation of the behavior of the ego. The ego must drive. When we think about why oftentimes, excuse me, we have conflict and war and all that sort of stuff, somebody wants something. Somebody needs something. Now, why this really, really, really matters is because need strategizes. And relaxation is in receptive mode. Not strategizing. And so the unstrategizing is more easily made, quote, quote, the victim of the strategizer, the intender, the wanter has to have the power to get what it wants. Do we understand history now? So, if we're ever going to enter into an age which we would laugh, I'm sorry, laughingly call the Golden Age. Have you given up strategy? No. You're a planner. You're going to plan how to do this. You're talking to yourself about that. I'm going to go get this from the store. I'm going to fix a meal this way. I'm going to make the bed. Oh, yes, on Saturday I strategize, do my laundry, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Strategizing. An open receiver doesn't need to do a whole lot of strategizing. In fact, an open receiver has faith. Well, things will work out. Well, things will work out. Well, things will work out. It'll happen when it happens. That becomes a perfect target for someone who's a strategizer. someone who wants to strategize. And I'm talking about your own subconscious. Your own subconscious is a reflection of the dark age. It's not in open receptivity. It's not in open faith. It's not relaxed so that it's not blocking more subtle impulses from the soul, the inhabiting soul, the electricity of the body, the thing that keeps the toaster being a toaster. Got to plug it in to the electricity. The body with a soul. Or is it the other way around? The soul with the body. Seeing if the body will get it. Will the body get it? So why it matters that you relax and have faith and are in a receptive, joyful position matters. It matters a whole lot. It's an imperative to moving forward spiritually. It's not a either or. It's a, if you don't, you don't, and you'll be back. At some point in time, we have to come to the understanding that open receptivity towards the soul's in-housing has the right of direction and timing. Yeah. And we can say the words, we've heard the words, I tell you the words over and over and over again, and ding dong. The pathology of the biology of the body, which is in the grip of the great pretender to the throne of the spirit, the ego. The ego is the pretender to the throne of the spirit. And whatever keeps the ego powerful is a problem. Tension is need. I need something. I'm tense because I need to protect myself. I need to be able to get down the stairs. I need to get to work on time. I need. There's a need, an eternal itch to have, want, do, rather than relaxed, it'll come. When the time is right, Spirit knows best, God knows best. You see? So it's not just, wouldn't it be nice? Of course it would be nice, but you're never going to get there if that's the attitude. Wouldn't it be nice? Doesn't work. It matters that you intend to relax, and what relaxation demands is you give up needy, wanty, directive consciousness, your ego, in other words. Why do the masters always say, die that you might live? Die that you might live. You have to kill some addictions of need and want. Tukumon was kind of a wild man saint. Certainly, certainty undermines one's power and turns happiness into a long shot. Certainty confines. Dears, there is nothing in your life that will not change, especially all your ideas of God. Look what the insanity of righteous knowledge can do. Crusade and maim thousands in wanting to convert that which is already gold into gold. Let's send out some missionaries. Okay. Well, if that doesn't work, let's send out some soldiers. Okay. How many wars have been fought in the name of religion? It's not religion. It's ego. It doesn't have anything to do with religion. Religiere is back to soul, so it doesn't go out and kill things, you know. Okay. Certainty can become an illness that creates hate and greed. We haven't had a belly full of that for the last umpteen years, have we? God once said to Tuka, even I am ever changing. I am ever beyond myself. What I may have once put my seal upon may no longer be the greatest truth. Oops. Oops. You don't want to hear that, do you? I think God gave us the wrong medicine. Let's take a poll. How many enlightened have you been feeling? I bet he keeps a private stash of something really, really, really that works. Told you he was a wild man. Birds don't brag about flying the way we do. They don't write books about it and then give workshops. They don't take on disciples and spoil their own airtime. Who could dance and achieve liftoff with a bunch of wackos tugging on you? I'll leave that to your imagination. Okay. I said to a squirrel, what is that you were carrying? And he said, it's my lucky rock. Isn't it pretty? I held it and said, indeed, I said to God, what is this earth? And he said, it's my lucky rock. Isn't it wondrous? Yes, indeed. You see, taking ourselves too seriously is problematic at best. It's problematic at best. Relaxation and letting go. Letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go. And you know, you're going to get up and go to the bathroom when you need to. You'll get a drink when you're really thirsty rather than your mind is thirsty. Things will come to you if you are not needing to be the doer. And you don't trust that. You keep thinking you need to strategize. Why can't something just pop in your mind? Oftentimes when something just pops in your mind, it's the right thing. It's the better than you were thinking. It just popped into your mind. Somewhere where you took a breath between your ego need and a pause to breathe, you went blank for one little second and it popped into your mind. Oh, here we are. It's so much simpler than we think it is. You know, if you could just take an eraser to that whiteboard brain of yours and just stop planning. Now, that doesn't mean a plan won't arrive. It means you won't be making it. And that's important. There's a big difference between you planning and a plan arrives. An idea pops in to your mind. Where did it pop from? Not your ego. When it pops, it comes from a more subtle layer of consciousness. And it's also much better than the one you were strategizing, the one you needed to get done, you know? We just don't trust. So sometimes we just have to be knocked down and dragged out by the spirit to get us to cooperate. Because what we're trying to do isn't working. And we're all upset about it. Let's have a little tension party, okay. You know, I haven't let go of my adrenaline for 10 years now, you know. Why should I give it up now? And we train kids. So diligently we train them to need. You need to get your homework done. You need to get the dishes done. You need to make your room up before you can go. Da, 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 da. You need to be able to walk. You need to be able. I want to walk. I need to walk. Where is that coming from? It's pathologically indigenous to the biology of survival, of duality. Now, duality is going to cease to exist. Unity is not. So, letting go to the ocean of consciousness. I kind of like to be individual. I don't think I can let go. Well, who will I be if I let go? You see, we can't literally commit ego suicide. Because that's who we've practiced from birth. We've practiced ego consciousness. And so if you hit a wall and hear a master speak and say, you know, no, 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 no. What happens when the soul leaves the body? A piece of junk. Not good for a doorstop. It gets smelly and rotten. And that smelly, rotten thing is actually your ego, too. And its job, its assignment, is to keep you from understanding that your soul is the powerful one. But because it's on a subtle frequency, as opposed to a gross frequency, which you're listening to with your ego, you're listening with your ego. And what is an ego? A gross frequency. And we don't get it because we're not taught it early enough. And, you know, we're tricked because fight and flight, survival, the reflexive behavior of tension, always scanning for a problem. Watch a deer or an elk. We have plenty of elk to watch. Ears, alert, jumpy. Ever seen a rabbit come up on a rabbit? Does the rabbit just stand still and let you pet it? No, no, no. Not a wild rabbit. It's out of there like gangbusters. You think a snake is just going to lay around? No, no. Little chipmunks are so fast you can't even see them pass. I mean, wild means survival. And so we have the wild in us. We evolved in the material body. We have the wild instinct of survival, which means we're alert to danger, we're alert to failure, we're alert to not getting what we want. We're alert, 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 we're alerts. And being alert means adrenaline. And adrenaline means alert and tense. And tension is not the same as relaxed, open receptivity. Which leads us to another problem we have. Unconditional love. We have a real hard time with unconditional love. We want it, but we don't know we want it. We can be jerks all over the place, but we want to be loved anyway. We want to be appreciated. We can be thoughtless and unkind. We can be busy and snippy, and we can be all kinds of things. But we want acceptance. Unconditional acceptance. Nope. So we want God to accept us unconditionally. For heaven's sakes, he created us. Huh? Yes, the child screams at the parent. Okay. Unconditional love. Well, if God created our fight and flight and all the other things, don't you think God takes that into consideration? Of course. And we want him to. We can do everything wrong and we can be facing a crisis and we can say, oh God, help me. We did everything to create the crisis that we could. And then we want God to save us, right? So he has to be unconditionally loving. And since we don't ever reach unconditional love, we can't trust it. Until we can reach fewer conditional loves, we can maybe get into the park area of unconditional love. Maybe we'll get a pass. The triviality of our ego is so astounding, but we don't discover it because we're indigenous to it. That we're so tied up in knots about being the doer that we don't know we're being the doer. That we don't accept the fact that there's no possible way the frequency we're using would be called subtle. It's gross, tense, thinking, reacting. If you're reacting to something, you're tense. You've got adrenaline so that you can spring into action. Springing into action is very important. Mm-hmm. Mamas with crying babies, right? Hearing cars, you spring into action. When we lived up at the lodge, we would just wait to hear whether the crash at the corner of our property was really bad or just kind of bad. How much stuff should we carry out to the accident? because they came around this corner, there was ice, they didn't see the bridge, they missed and they drove right into the bridge or they drove into the river, you know. That was a regular event. What do you do on Saturday? Oh, we go out to the accident. That's how, you know, it is. We are so bent on tension and speed and doership and that sort of thing. Why would we get all tense if what we want to do gets blocked? If we thought that the great doer was God, and what we're doing gets blocked, wouldn't we give God credit? No, we get mad. And we get mad at people or things or, you know. When I was a kid, my mother told me that if I came home from school, she would take me. She had a bridge party. She would come home, she'd pick me up and take me down to get new patent leather shoes for Easter. Well, somehow or other she forgot. And I had run home, washed my feet, put on clean stockings, my best shoes I could, and so I was out in the driveway waiting for her. Well, time went by and time went by and no mother. And so I got so mad, I went over and I kicked the rock wall around the base of the house. And oh, did I hurt my foot. And I wasn't fit to go try on anything because it was swelling. You see, if you had trusted that God was at work and doing the whole show, that wouldn't have happened. Just wouldn't have happened. But, you know, a 7-year-old, whatever age I was probably 7, you know. And I mean, that's the whole stream of our learning career in life. When we get blocked, we get mad. And so we're tense already, and then we add greater tension by being blocked. Now let's put that in another position. If we're tense, are we possibly blocking a more subtle frequency? And if we don't get the subtle frequency and we get mad and more tense, is it helpful? Does it show that we trust? Does it show that we have faith? Oh, you see. And we don't put two and two together. That soul is always directing, but behind the scenes on different frequencies. And we're interpreting whatever we want through the frequencies of paying attention to the ego frequency, as opposed to receptivity of the subtle frequency. So the subtle frequency says, well, if he's going to block me here, I'll teach him a lesson here on a more gross frequency. Go kick your rock wall. That'll help. And we don't get it. And we don't get it because our parents didn't get it. you know. And their parents didn't get it, and as we evolved, we didn't get it. So, if the masters say we're the top of creation, debatable, if we're the top of creation, the only time we can actually claim that spot is if we get that we have to change identity. We have to change our idea of ourself as the doer. We have to be more relaxed, more open, more receptive, less anxiety-ridden, less reactional, less strategizing. So it can pop into our attention. And it has to pop because we're still a little off frequency. But if that's the truth, where's the debate? If that's the truth, where's the debate? There can't be a debate to the fact that there's more subtle frequencies that we block by being tense. And that we've all experienced relaxing and knowing that. Something dawns on us, and it was the perfect thing. It was much better than we were strategizing. We've all had it. But because we're so historically, and I mean historically, kind of hysterically, but also historically, attuned to being the watcher and the doer, the great pretender to being the one-all, be-all consciousness at work in ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to be on guard. I think that baby that ended in the tree when the tornado came down and took a town apart, and the baby was in the tree, didn't have a scratch on it, it was perfectly fine. I'm sure the baby was strategizing that. And the mother in the bathtub with the kids. The house is down, the walls were down, and there they were in a heap of rubble in the bathtub, fine. Praying. Oh God. They planned that, you know, I mean, they organized that. And it doesn't matter how many miracles we read about. The idea that something may be coming has got us all bent out of shape and strategizing, planning, you know. And I'm not saying don't do some practical things, but why don't you do practical things after you get real still and see what pops in your mind rather than trying to race to get something done that is not going to work, and by accident you're in another place and that place worked. But you come back to rubble, where you had strategized to be safe. And you were someplace that didn't look safe, but you were safe. How did that happen? There are millions of stories like that, millions out there. And apparently they don't mean much. Somehow or other, they don't carry enough oomph to block your behavior of being the strategizer and the caretaker and the, How many people have been pronounced that they only have a week or a half a day to live? They recover and get just fine, thank you. Doctors are really baffled by that. Happens all over and over and over again. They only have a week to live. They only have a month to live. And then they win the paraplegic Olympics. So, you know, we have to laugh at ourselves because it's the clown in us, the ever-vigilant protector, doer, the well-trained monkey in us that keeps barring the experience that we actually read about or have had or something to be the top most information in our brain, our biological, egotistical brain. So how do we train it? We drain the chemistry of tension from our bodies. We drain the tension chemicals. Adrenaline, and dopamine, endorphins. And so if we change the chemistry, then we change the space in the cells and the molecules and the atoms, and whoop, something pops into our brain. Something pops into our consciousness because there's room. We've opened. So, closed-minded, why do we say he's closed-minded? Because he can't hear something that's being said and entertain it in a thoughtful way because he's tense, reactional, conditioned, hypnotized. Well, for the 950,000th time, you've heard the word relax, trust. Your business is relaxation. Your business is relaxation. Your business is relaxation. Your business is open, 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 relax. Enjoy. Go jolly. Oh, let me see if I heard that before. Go jolly. Go jolly. Okay. Joy to the world, okay. Let me see. How many songs? Mm-hmm. Okay. Have fun. The ball is in your court, whether you like it or not. The ball is always in your court, whether you like it or not.